And may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Even if I don't teach from John 4, I'm using it as a springboard to teach from everywhere else in the Bible. The devotional I wrote this morning that I posted on As and Roars from Isaiah 35, which we'll turn to in just a second, just again drew me to this story in John 4. And I thought about, what was it? Did Jesus just arbitrarily pick this woman? There are a lot of people with messed up lives who need Christ to encounter them, even if they don't know that. And this woman who'd been married 5 times, was now living with a man, had definitely a messed up life. And she'd done a very good job over periods of decades to goof it up really bad. But why her? Why did Jesus, like, in the midst of his highest popularity, before things started going downhill, as far as the Jews were concerned, and them wanting to kill him, them pursuing him to make him famous, he separates with his disciples and leaves that whole scene at the Jordan River and goes to this out-of-way, lonely place, sends his disciples away to go get food, and encounters this one broken, messed-up woman, offers her living water, changes her life forever. She becomes a true worshiper, a true adorer of God. And so, like, the question is, why? Why did the Lord encounter her? The living water was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in her life and from her life. This gift of eternal life, we talked about that a lot in our inner healing weekend, that eternal life is not just what goes on forever. It's a quality of life. It's the love of the Father poured out in us by the Holy Spirit. It's the life of Jesus lived out through us by the Holy Spirit. It's all this work of the Holy Spirit, this massive thing. Why her? What's the deal? And I think that Isaiah 35 gives us the answer. In Isaiah 35, it's a great passage about revival, an outpouring in the Spirit on the people of God that's being cried out for. Let me just begin with verse 1. The wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the Araba desert will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will blossom profusely and rejoice with rejoicing and shouts of joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, and the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of God and the majesty of our God, encourage and the exhausted, and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with palpitating heart, take courage, don't be afraid. Behold, your God will come with vengeance towards the enemy, and the recompense against the enemy who's trying to destroy your life will come, but he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, the lame will leap like a deer, the tongue of the dumb will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness of a person's barren life, and streams in the Araba. And the scorched land of a barren life will become like a pool, and the thirsty ground will be springs of water. Isn't that what he offered the woman? Living water that would spring up in her. And the haunt of jackals, the demonic, will be gone. And a highway will be there, a roadway. It will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it. But it will be for him that walks in the way, and fools won't wander on it. The lion will not be there. Again, these are pictures of the demonic. Nor will any vicious beast go up on it. There will be not found there. But the redeemed of the Lord will walk there. And the ransom of the Lord will return and come forth with joyful shouting in Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and all fleeing will flee away. That's a great picture of what happened to the woman at the well. All sorrow, all fleeing went away. Not only was her life transformed, she carried revival that transformed an entire region. But why? Why her? I mean, I'm sure there were lots of other people who were really messed up. Why this one? Is it just a lucky break? No. It's real simple. You see, here's the thing that we do with religion. We have this religious or legalistic concept. This is what's required of you to attract the Lord to pour out his Spirit on your life so that he'll transform you. But when Jesus said to her, he said, all you got to do is receive this gift. All you got to do is drink of the living water and your life will be transformed. As we said before, our past doesn't determine our future. The only thing that determines our future is where we drink from. Do we keep drinking from the water of this world, thinking it satisfies, or do we drink of the Holy Spirit? But again, what qualified her? This verse 4 tells the whole story. Because after everything, verse 4, everything about an outpouring of the Holy Spirit is described. Say to those with palpitating hearts, take courage, not be afraid. Now, this is the New American Standard. It's one of the older versions. And it's translated palpitating heart. The updated New American Standard and every other version of the Bible that I looked up, which is a bunch of them, they use the word anxious or fearful. So I thought, well, that didn't add up. As if they're saying, all you who are anxious in heart and fearful, don't be afraid, God's going to do this. But this translation of palpitating is the right one. Because it's not the Hebrew word for anxious or fearful. Everywhere it's used, it has the idea of longing in such a way that's like hurry. Hurry up. Don't wait. Not anxiety out of fear, but hurry. It even has the idea, one of the words that it describes it is the word to precipitate. To precipitate something is to cause something to happen suddenly. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, the Shulamite says, take me away with you to this place in you, this relationship with you, this extravagant relationship with Jesus, and let us run. That's the idea. Let us run there. Let's hurry, Lord. I don't want to stay where I'm at one more minute. I want everything that you have. I long for you. My heart palpitates for you. The very last verse in the Song of Solomon, it's one of my favorite scriptures. It says, hurry, my beloved. And that could be interpreted as a second coming, come again. Of course, that's true. But the context of the Song of Solomon is here's a believer who's encountered him in profound ways, and God has done much to bring this believer further up and further in terms of his presence and his power and his purposes, and having tasted and knowing there's always more in him, having tasted, having gone farther, the response isn't, oh, I'm satisfied. It's, hurry, my beloved, I want more. Hurry, my beloved, I want more. You see, Christianity is this unique thing that the more you drink, the thirstier you are. The more you eat, the more hungry you get. For more of him. And there's always more of him. That and that alone is a prerequisite that precipitates an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a person or in a people or in a land. Not that you get your act together. That's religion. That's false religion. That's legalism, that somehow you got to get your act together, you got to get your ducks in a row spiritually, and if you'll do all those right things, God will pour out his Spirit. You can know revival. You know what it says the requirement is? Isaiah 35? Do you have a palpitating heart? That in the midst of where you're at, you're simply going, hurry, my beloved. I want you. I need you. I want more of you. The woman at the well's life was a mess. She couldn't do anything about it. She'd been trying for decades. 5 husbands, living with a guy. It wasn't working. But I believe what Jesus did find in her and what drew him to her and what was so attractive to him is that there was a palpitating heart. That somewhere underneath all that mess, there was a palpitating heart beating, saying, hurry, God, do something. God, do something. Do anything. I give you permission to do anything, take anything, whatever it takes. I just got to have you. I just got to have you pour out your Spirit. And then Jesus just kind of happens to sort of show up and offers her living water. That's all it takes. So maybe you find yourself in a mess. Maybe you find yourself as a mess. and you don't know what to do, and you keep reading the books, and you keep hearing the sermons, they keep telling you all the little formulas to get together. Here's the formula. Have a palpitating heart. Just want Him to do something in your life more than anything else in the world, and He'll meet you. She just showed up to drink water. That's what she did every day, to draw water in the middle of the day. Just wake up tomorrow, or the next day, or the next day, or whatever. He'll encounter you. He'll encounter a palpitating heart, and He'll change your life forever. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.